You're listening to Crime Hive, and this is another true crime story of how they were caught. Now, this story takes place in Texas, Kaufman County, Texas, just outside of Dallas, in January of 2013, when prosecuting attorney Mark Hassey was on his way to the county courthouse when he was confronted by a man. This man was dressed in all black, had a mask, and a former police officer happened to witness this man approach the attorney and saw him put a gun to his neck and shoot 5 times. The man fled to a vehicle, got into the passenger side, so somebody else was driving, and the vehicle had no license plate. And this former police officer tried to follow the vehicle. Instincts kicked in, tried to get a plate, but couldn't because there was no license plate. Eventually lost track of the vehicle and went back to the crime scene and started performing CPR. But it was too late. Mark Hassey died, and there were other witnesses. And all the witnesses agreed that this person was dressed in black and had a black mask, but there wasn't really a description of who this person was. And on scene, police would find part of a bullet that apparently had missed. And it came from a unique bullet, a 38 caliber plus P, which is considered a more powerful round. And this was starting to look like a hit, you know, a sign of professionalism, according to investigators. What was interesting was 6 weeks later, there was nearly an identical crime in Colorado with a prison chief gunned down on his front porch. And then 2 days later, a vehicle was linked to that crime in Texas. So police were thinking this might possibly be related, but it turned out not to be. The driver was a man named Evan Ebel. He had a history of violence. He ended up shooting and wounding a deputy in a traffic stop and a chase, but then crashed the vehicle and died. Police investigated his whereabouts, but he wasn't in Texas with that original crime. So that was soon unlinked. Police were at a standstill, and the district attorney who was in charge of Mark Hassey, his name was Mike McClellan, he vowed to find out who this suspect was. He was working to find out what happened. One day, a family member couldn't reach him or his wife, Cynthia. So he goes to check, sees that the doors are locked in their house, the lights are on, and their cars are there. So he actually goes in and finds both of them shot in their pajamas. The district attorney, Mike McClellan, was shot 16 times. His wife shot 8 times. There were around 20 shell casings found from a different gun from the first scene. And they were all fired from one gun, though. So police thought maybe this was just one person. So now you have two district attorneys dead in the same county. And everyone is on alert. People are scared. They're wondering who would want to kill them. So they start looking at previous cases and trying to find out if there was a disgruntled client that maybe was serving prison, just got out, maybe was on parole. They just couldn't seem to find a connection at the time. They did find some other evidence with a surveillance camera nearby their residence that actually showed a white Ford Crown Victoria. It's like an unmarked looking police vehicle. And so they thought maybe a former police officer or police officer is involved somehow in this because of that vehicle. But they would get a break from Crime Stoppers. So they get this online tip. But what was strange is the tip appeared to be from the suspect because the headline read something to the effect of, "Do we have your attention now?" This person goes on to name the specific round type from the bullet in the first case. And police didn't release that information. So they knew that only the suspect and police would know this. It also mentioned that a judge needed to resign or there would be more murders. So police continue to look at some sort of connection after this. They believe that there has to be a connection. Sure enough, they find that there was a convicted justice of the peace a year earlier that was linked to both of those attorneys killed because this justice of the peace had been convicted by those two attorneys a year earlier for theft of public property. And this man was named Eric Williams, and he was stealing computer monitors, just believing them to be his. And it ended his career because of this case. And so police saw that as a very strong motive. They acquired enough information based on that to get a search warrant of his property. And out of all the items they find, they're not finding a whole lot, but they find this small scrap piece of paper that has some letters and numbers on it. And a savvy detective recognized this strange group of letters and numbers as a Crime Stoppers password. But not just any password. He knew from that Crime Stoppers tip, he knew what the passcode was, because anytime somebody submits an online tip through Crime Stoppers, there's a unique passcode that's given to them. And this code was written down on that piece of paper and was the code that detectives were keeping an eye out for. So now they had a very strong piece of evidence. Another tip from a friend of this Eric Williams said that they believed he had a storage unit away from his residence. And police dug and they found out where the storage unit was and they searched it. And sure enough, they find a white Crown Victoria, similar to the second crime scene that was seen on that camera. So now they're looking in the storage unit and they find all types of weapons and thousands of rounds of ammunition, meticulously stacked. Everything's in order. And they're not finding a whole lot until they kept digging. And in this tactical bag, they find one round, just one bullet. It apparently was a round that had been loaded into a weapon and ejected, so it was never fired. And this left markings on that round from being cycled through that gun. And so under a microscope, police had rounds from the previous scenes. They compared, and that round with those markings in that storage unit matched to the McClellan case. And so now they have a very strong piece of evidence that ties him to the murder case. And they arrest him for it. They had enough to arrest him, but they wanted a stronger case. They knew somebody else was involved in the first murder because somebody had picked up the suspect in a vehicle. So they actually talked to his wife, the suspect's wife, who's named Kim. They question her and they're basically threatening her, saying, you know, hey, if we find out you're involved, this is going to be a death penalty case for you. And so she cracks and she quickly confesses to being a part of it. Now, she was the person that picked him up in the first scene. Even told police that she was his biggest fan, like, you know, a cheerleader that believed he had also been wronged and wanted justice just as bad as he did. She did tell police about a nearby body of water that some evidence would be found in, and police find the mask from that first crime scene, along with a gun that matched from the first crime scene. So they continue to stack on this evidence. What was disturbing about Kim was she said that the two had celebrated with a steak dinner after one of these crimes where someone was murdered. So very disturbing. And in 2014, December, he would be convicted for those murders and sentenced to death. And then his wife, Kim, would get 40 years. And that was how they were caught. Crime Hive.